Will you open your Bibles, dear friends? It's lovely to have you with us today. And we're in Philippians, as you know. We're going verse by verse. Hope you're beginning to enjoy this way of preaching. It's called expository preaching. It's you end up at the end of covering every possible subject when you go through the books. So don't be discouraged. It's a lovely way to do it. See, now last time we were together, we ended on verse 14. So we're going to pick up the next paragraph together from verse 15 through to verse 18. Philippians 1, verses 15 to 18. Now, just a brief background for you, especially if you're visiting us this morning. As I've mentioned, we are going through Philippians, so keep going with us and we'll cover this magnificent letter. Now, in the previous couple of verses, you may remember that we have seen how there were so many lovely things at Philippi, weren't there? It was a happy environment in some ways. They were converted people, and Paul is urging them to continue to grow. Remember, we saw that in verse 9. He wants them now to grow in love and grow in knowledge, grow in discernment, grow in knowing what is best, growing in the fruit of righteousness. And then last time we were together, from verse 12 to 14, he showed us how to be strong when we go through trials and how to live for Christ. It all seems quite encouraging. There doesn't seem to be too much that is there to discourage the apostle when he's sitting in prison. Until you hit verse 15. And from verse 15 to verse 18, friends, it's a bit of a sad section of Philippians, because not everything was going nicely. Not everybody was working together. It wasn't all rosy. In fact, Paul tells us, and I'll take you through it now, there were some in the church who were doing all that they could to discourage the Apostle Paul. They were doing all that they could to cause division and problems. And I know that sounds hard to believe. Ralph Martin, who's written a lovely commentary on Philippians, put it like this. He says, "There were many who were speaking the word with a zeal, but of these, some were ill-intentioned in their activities. It follows that they were not pagans, using the name of Christ in blasphemy, nor were they heretics, taking advantage of Paul's confinement. No, they were Christians, but they bore no love to the Apostle Paul. They were anxious to see him stay in prison. They intended to make his life as galling and irksome as possible. And they even derived malicious satisfaction from what they were doing." Isn't that sad? In a church, in the name of Jesus. So what I want to have a look at very simply, and then we'll have communion, is three things. I want us to focus on the causes and the cure of division. How do we deal with this when it sometimes crops up? Right, follow with me now as we have a look at the four causes in verse 15. See there? It is true. It's true. It's not a rumor. It's not Paul making it up when he's sitting in prison writing this letter. He said it's true that some preach Christ out of envy. See? They were involved, they were teaching Christ, but why did they do it? Out of envy. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, we must be very, very, very careful of that evil. Envy or jealousy. What does envy mean? Well, if you look up the dictionary, it defines it in this way. It's a feeling of discontentment, usually with ill will at someone else's superiority, advantages, or success. So the question that you and I ask is, but what would these people be jealous of Paul for? Why was there this envy, this discontentment, this terrible attitude towards somebody else? Well, we can only suggest that maybe it was because of Paul's gifts. That in the goodness and grace of God, Paul had wonderful gifts. He was a preacher. He was a teacher. He had the gift of an evangelist. He was a missionary. Were they jealous of that? Were they jealous and envious of what God had given to Paul? Do you know what, dear brothers and sisters? That happens in a church. That's a terrible thing this morning we're learning. Not in the world, this is in the church. Where one Christian is envious of another one. And doing the work of God under a blanket. Well, another suggestion is Paul's success. Very few missionaries have ever been as successful as the Apostle Paul was. Under his ministry, lots of people had been converted. Believers had been edified. Churches were founded. Whether it was Galatia or Achaia or Macedonia, he had reached them for Christ. And you'd have thought, man, these people are so thrilled. No, they weren't. There was some envious, jealous. The damage that's caused by envy. I may say as your brother this morning, I hope there's no one here today. As you come to partake of the Lord's Supper, and there's envy in your life, or jealousy, there's somebody else, another dear Christian brother or sister, that you've got the wrong attitude towards. Maybe wise today to not have communion. But you must be right. Envy is a terrible thing, isn't it? The second word that he uses, some preach Christ out of envy, others out of rivalry. Rivalry. So their involvement in preaching Jesus is set against the background of contention now. Squabbling in the interests of their party. Rivalry. Wanting to be seen as someone as important as Paul. Nobody as good as them. Everybody else is wrong. They were right. They were godly. And they created rivalry. So some do it out of envy, others out of rivalry. A third cause sometimes that causes so many heartaches is, if you go down to verse 17, selfish ambition. You see, he says, the former preached Christ out of selfish ambition. That's another thing that should never be, should it, among a Christian. Ambition for self. Hey, friends? The only thing we want for ourselves is that we die to self. Jesus must increase. We must decrease. But not these people. They were ambitious for themselves. They wanted everything for themselves. There was the selfish ambition. Always wanting to be the center of the attention. But for me, the worst is number four. No sincerity. See, the former preached Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely. In other words, their motives were mixed. So why did they preach? There was no sincerity. When they did their chores around the church, no sincerity. There was mixed motives. I can't get better than quote from Alec Mottier. He's a marvelous writer in his book on Philippians. He put it like this. Oh, it's such a terrific way he writes when he says, on the one hand, they were faithful gospel preachers, committed to declare a selfless, self-sacrificing, unself-seeking Jesus, a Christ that was bent upon the eternal good of all for whom he died. But on the other hand, they privately, secretly indulged in a different set of values. They were self-seeking, self-regarding, moved by a desire even to think evil and to desire hurt on someone for whom Christ died. They were double-minded, dual personalities. Their public lives were at war with their private lives. Their tongues were at war with their thoughts. Sure, it's magnificent, isn't it? They were selfish in their ambition. So they were involved in Philippi, doing all the chores, but out of envy, rivalry, selfish ambition, no sincerity. Now, the encouraging thing, of course, to go back to verse 15, not everyone was doing this. See at the end of verse 15, but others out of goodwill. So there were some other lovely Christians at Philippi who weren't like this. See verse 16, there were others who were doing it out of love. And so in the church, we must remember that though all alike are active, all are not influenced by the same motives. Some preach Christ to gratify an envious, jealous, quarrelsome spirit. Others show goodwill. The latter work from love, acknowledging that we are put here for the spreading of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ from headstrong partisanship and sadly with impure motives. So my precious friends, this morning as we just continue to work through Philippians, it's a time when we say together this morning, Lord, search my heart. Don't worry about anybody else. Please, Lord, search my heart. Remember that chorus? And see if there be any wicked way in me. And then lead me in the way everlasting. And maybe this morning, perhaps, I don't know. God knows. If things are not right, when we come to communion, get down on your knees and say, Dear God, take away all jealousy. Take away all envy. Take away all rivalry. Take away any selfish ambition. Help me to be sincere and godly in what I do. The causes, envy, rivalry, selfish ambition, no sincerity. Well, secondly, brothers and sisters, how does Paul respond? How do you respond to this? How do you react to this? How did he deal with this at Philippi? And it's wonderful to see the apostle. See verse 18? Terrific, isn't it? But what does it matter, he says. The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Now I want you to notice, if I can suggest it to you when you're going over it today, that it's surprising that when Paul deals with these problems of divisions, he doesn't appeal to the doctrine of sanctification. Doesn't appeal to that to stop it. He doesn't appeal to the doctrine of apostasy. He doesn't even deal with the person of Christ. How does he deal with it? Listen to Mattia one last time. His emphasis is not on the person of Christ, but upon the proclamation of Christ. And that's wonderful. So what he's saying is, yes, there are some that are jealous. There are others that are envious. There are others that do it out of selfish ambition. There are others that are causing difficulty. But I'm not going to get involved in that. I want to be caught up in this wonderful, exciting, and thrilling ministry of telling others about Christ. So it's the proclamation of Christ that thrills Paul. It's this proclamation of Jesus that causes Paul to rejoice. So he says it twice, in fact. He says, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. Why? Because Jesus is being preached. And you know, that's got such a lovely word for you and I here at Christchurch. When you invite your friends, when you come here Sunday by Sunday, you come to Oggs tomorrow, you come to the ladies on Thursday, you come to the guys on Friday, come to the Bible studies, you know what's going to happen, dear friends? Christ is going to be preached. And that's wonderful. There's nothing more thrilling than that, because we are sinners that need Jesus. We are weak and we need Jesus. And we are going to be caught up in this wonderful work of proclaiming Christ. We got a lovely email from our one son yesterday, and he was just saying to us, Dad, I believe you've been to Zambia. You would have felt at home there. I don't know what he meant by that. But what he knows my heart's in Africa. And what he meant was, don't get sidetracked. Stay focused, because those people need Bible teachers. Keep training them. I thought, well, thank you so much. Because that's where it is. Don't get caught up in small matters. Rejoice that Christ is being preached. And you know what, dear friends? In a very small way, what a great honor and privilege we have here at Christ Church. And you allow me to lecture a little bit at the college in Maritzburg. 20 of our students are up there now. The churches I visited were packed. Packed. And I sat down in the one church when the guy was leading, Stephen Congwe. And I just felt myself being a bit emotional. I thought, Jesus, thank you. You've given me the honor, the privilege of training 20 men for Zambia. Thank you. I don't want to get caught up in small things. And that's true for Pinetown. We've got a wonderful Savior. We've got a precious gospel. And Paul says some are going to be envious. Some are going to be rivalry. Some have got selfish ambition. Some of them are not sincere. That's fine. Don't worry about that. You keep preaching Christ. Is that all right? That's great. That's what we're going to do. So lastly, and then we finished. Now you all think you're the rugby today. So what's the last thing? What are some practical lessons? Now, all I want you to do, friends, is turn back a page to Ephesians chapter 4. Just turn back a page, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. You got it there? And from verse 2. So, what can we learn from today? How can we put this all into practice? Okay? How do we get rid of these very sinful things of envy, rivalry, selfish ambition, and sincerity? How do we get rid of those? Look what verse 2 says. You got it with me? Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bear with one another in love. See verse 3. And make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Put it up in order there. What Paul is saying to us in the Word of God is, in your relationships with people, in a local church in Philippi, be humble. Always be humble. If somebody gets a promotion above you, praise the Lord. If they get more praise, praise the Lord. If they are given this, wonderful. If you are not asked, fantastic. Be humble. It's the way to be. Be humble. No rivalry. No envy. No selfish ambition. Be humble. Two, be gentle. Be gentle with people. Be patient. Hey, God's not finished with us yet. Let's be patient. Let's be helpful. Always seeing how we can help others. And five, do your best. That's a strong word there. Make every effort to keep. We don't have to create it. It's there by the Spirit. We must keep. Make every effort. Don't think anything. Do anything. Say anything that in any way could hurt the unity. And number six, to love one another. That's the greatest of all. To demonstrate love. So my friends, as we go home this morning, what have we learned? We've learned as Christians to live as Christians. Throw out jealousy, rivalry, selfish ambition, lack of sincerity. And through your walk with Jesus, and through your time when you depend on His Holy Spirit, say, Lord, help me to put those off. And Lord, with your help, because I can't, to be humble, gentle, patient, helpful, and loving. May God help us to be the most loving church in Mellor Road, Pinedown. How's that, eh? People come here, they're going to be loved into the kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the joy of just working through Philippians, and it touches on lots of issues for us. And today you've shown us what you want to be put off. Oh, help us never to portray things of the world. Help us by your Spirit, gracious God, to be humble and gentle and patient and helpful and loving.